Hola amigos, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bueno.
Is that all you know for Spanish?
Así, así.
Yeah, pretty much. Yo, it's your boy Dixon.
And your boy Fancy J.
And we're here for another edition of The B Show, a wrestling podcast.
Kind of.
I mean, kind of.
When are we going to change that name, man?
I
already have the name. I'm changing it. I need your help with the logo, though. You said you had knew a guy.
I know a bunch of people that do the graphic design.
So then let's do it up. And we'll you see. Said that you had somebody for our new opening song. We need to get that song back up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do this, man. Get it on there.
Ding, ding, motherfucker.
Yeah, since we're breaking out in other countries.
Yeah.
Yo, man, we're huge in Japan. Props to all of our Japanese
Literally,
listeners out there.
Literally, because they're all like
5'4". Hey, it's true, too. But no, man, they're loving it. I feel like more people listen to us overseas than they do in this country.
Well, you know, things happen.
Hey, I'll take it. I don't care where our listeners are.
I've heard you take it.
Why has everything got to be sexual and up the ass?
I don't know. You're the one that went there. I just said that you'd take it.
How was your week?
Long.
Yeah? My week was good. I got a bunch of bananas.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Yep. So it was good. I had a lot of, found some good bananas. And, yeah. Working, man. Hustling.
I like that.
Why are you on the phone when we just started our podcast?
I got a weird text message that I don't know who it's from.
Oh, gosh. It's probably one of your former ladies.
No.
Did you watch any of the NBA Finals, Game 1?
I don't like basketball.
At all?
I watch a little college here and there, but the pro game's never really done anything for me.
Well, today's pro game isn't as strong as it used to be. It actually kind of sucks, but you know, these two teams, everybody wanted to see them. Everybody thought they were going to be there.
Isn't this like the third year in a row that they faced off in the finals?
It's the first time ever that the same team has faced off 3 years in a row, same two teams.
It's like the old days of the Celtics and the Lakers, bro.
But they never faced 3 years in a row.
There's I'm just saying like, rivalry-wise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's huge. I mean, there was no other competition. But anyway, the Warriors spanked them in game one.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, I had the Warriors in... six. So I
think still
no in six games.
Oh,
I still think Bron will get a couple wins. He's too good.
Brown who?
Bron LeBron.
Oh,
Brown who? Well, he is kind of brown.
You're so racist.
How's that racist? He's kinda. Well, actually, no, he's black. Brown. He's not Latin. See, I can say that I'm brown.
You're really not.
You don't know what I am.
Exactly. And that's what scares me.
So that means I can be a little bit of everything. That means that I am one of every race. So why was your week so long? Talk to me.
Because I work a full-time job, and then I work another full-time job.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of shows this week, bro.
Yeah? Well, any of them that you'd like to discuss?
No.
That were pretty awesome. No? Okay. Cool. So you want to jump right into
the fantasy,
get the wrestling out of the way. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our part two of the...
And this is going to be an ongoing thing. This isn't something that we're going to decide we don't want to do halfway through like the draft.
What draft?
We did.
No, we did that. We stopped halfway through. We still have to do
our top 20.
We still got 1 through 10 coming. We can bring it back.
Nah.
There's so much wrestling to talk about at the time. No, I want to hear who your top 10 is of all time. But anyway, so we're on part two of this. So we're going to talk wrestling in the beginning. We're going to do that. And then Dixon and I will jump
make
into.
Dick jokes for the rest of the time.
Yeah, we'll jump into our Extreme Rules pay-per-view predictions. And then dick jokes.
Yeah.
So
we have six more guys to draft.
Yep.
We're going to unleash the name of our Fed, describe it, point of view, and then tell you where our home base of operation is. So let's get into the next six, shall we?
All right.
You go first.
Shelton Benjamin.
Cool. I already had him. So.
Yep. Yeah.
My first of the supplemental is going to be Ted DiBiase Jr.
Ah. Is he back? He retired.
No, but I feel like if I offered him enough money, he would come back.
He would come back? Okay.
Who's number two of your six?
Damian Sandow. One of my favorites.
Also had him last week.
Yep.
Good to see you cherry picking off my list.
Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Number two for me is going to be Charlie Haas.
Charlie Haas. How do I know
Former tag team partner of Shelton Benjamin in the World.
Oh, yeah. Is he still wrestling?
Here and there, he takes indie dates.
Okay. Charlie Haas. Number three for me is Mike Bennett.
All right.
He hasn't officially signed with anyone yet, so even though we all know he's probably going to NXT, but I'll take Mike Bennett.
I will, too. He was on my list.
Oh, look at that.
So, number four.
Wade Barrett.
All right. I had him last week, too. I see where this is going.
I showed you my list last week of all the ones that were like 13 on, and it was very similar. So
I'm going to go with former WWE CW star Colin Delaney.
Never heard of him.
He's a dude from Rochester, did a lot of work with 2CW. He did, when WWE relaunched ECW on Sci-Fi, he had an ongoing storyline with Tommy Dreamer.
What was his name?
Colin Delaney.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Colin.
When he wrestled on the Indies in the Northeast, he was Colin Olsen, part of the Olsen twins with Jimmy Jam Olsen, who was his storyline brother.
Ah. Number five for me is I Spit in the Face, Carlito.
There you go. Another one that I had last week. Cool. My fifth is going to be A.R. Fox, Aaron Fox, independent Northeast wrestler.
Good
high spot kid, a good charisma.
I thought he signed with somebody.
Solid worker. No.
No. Oh, that's a good one. Steal him next week. My number six and final for this week, because we're only doing six, is Sonny.
Why?
Because I feel like she would get us a lot of publicity since we're indies, and I feel like I can have some fun with her. Sonny is my number 18th pick.
Oh, you're an idiot. I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes.
I was hoping more. Sonny is so much better than Cody Rhodes. What are you talking about? I was hoping more for a little bit of disdain there.
Nothing shocks me with you.
What's that? Actually, I had a couple people say, hey, dude, put Sonny in your top six and see what Dixon does.
So you got no reaction, right. So it wasn't worth it. You just wasted a pick.
No, not really. You
next
know.
Week, we'll draft six more, and then we'll both have 24 people. We'll talk booking plans, title placement, and how we're going to place those titles. I'm going to let you go first.
Wait. Before, just in case, why don't you run down your entire roster? Do you have all the names there?
Yeah, I got them all right.
Run down your entire roster so they can kind of get an idea.
All right, so my 18 guys off the bat, we've got Wade Barrett, Shelton Benjamin, Jack Swagger, Damian Sandow, Trevor Murdoch, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Nick Dinsmore, the former Eugene, Rob Conway, Carlito, Rob Van Dam, Jimmy Yang, Tajiri, Ted DiBiase Jr., Charlie Haas, Colin Delaney, A.R. Fox, Cody Rhodes, and Mike Bennett.
It's nice. My roster is Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Keith Lee, Donovan Dijak, Bobby Fish, Lilo Rush, Kota Ibushi, Matt Riddle, Jimmy Havoc, Jeff Cobb, Zack Sabre Jr., Will Ospreay, Shelton Benjamin, Damian Sandow, Carlito, Wade Barrett, Mike Bennett, and the always gorgeous Sonny.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. All right, so what's the name of your Fed, bruh?
All right, so this was probably the most difficult thing because I'm, as you know, with our own podcast name, this is so hard for me, whether it's baby names or my production company name. Like, I just can't ever come up with something that I really, truly love. So I'm going to be honest with you. I was going to walk into this show and be like, I don't have anything, whatever, I'll come up with it. But I know you'd give me shit. So what I did was I Googled cool wrestling federation names or
you're pathetic.
Company. Hold on. So this name generator came out and you put in your name. So I put in my name and this came out and I was like, okay, that's all right. So then I put in my Bebe's name and the same exact name came out. Yours was like some Canadian federation. I put yours name in here. So this is mine. I kind of dig it. And you're going to trash it anyway, but I like it. Absolute Revolutionary Wrestling, ARW. That's my name. Absolute Revolutionary Wrestling, ARW. But how cool is that? That in the same name generator, the only two names that came up for this was that and my girl. I won't say the names because I don't want people stalking us, but
Stacy.
Sonny.
mine is going to be called Patriot Pro Wrestling.
Patriot Pro Wrestling. Okay.
Yeah. Where are you based out of?
So obviously I wanted to do Los Angeles. It's my favorite place. I think it's awesome. Best city in the country. But with Lucha being there and PWG being in the backyard, I figured, okay, I got to go somewhere else. So I was thinking of two places, Greenville, South Carolina, or Austin, Texas. And I think I'm going to go with Austin, Texas, because it is, even Texas has got a huge wrestling history, but Austin is a modern city. A lot of different people. It's got that young vibe. I feel like with the music and the movies and everything, I feel like it can catch, especially my...
So you're going to try and put Booker T out of business is what you're saying.
Yeah. Booker T's going out, man. I mean, come on, look at that. Who's Booker T? If Booker T had half of this crap, man, he would be like the third biggest wrestling promotion in the country. I mean, my freaking roster is lit.
Yeah.
Capital.
I'm going Memphis. I'm gonna do.
Doesn't the King still have his there?
No.
Really? I thought he still has one.
He sold his tape library years ago. It's a wrestling hotbed. Southern people, in my opinion, are the easiest people to get into pro wrestling. Not making any judgment on their level of intelligence, and just simply stating that wrestling has always worked very well in the South.
What do you think would be better for me, Greenville or Austin, honestly? Greenville, South Carolina is a happening place right now. It's on the coast.
With the roster you have, I would probably go Texas. Because it's a major metropolitan city. Yeah. They do South by Southwest there. People would probably be into the more indie style of the guys
that
you've chosen.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yep, I like Austin.
So what's your point of view? What is your Fed style?
So the Fed style, this was... This was hard for me because, in the sense of when I'm thinking about it, I was driving around and all this week, I'm like, I don't know what the different Fed styles are. I mean, I just watch wrestling. So, like, strongman and the strong style and the high flyers, I mean, I feel like it's all mixed. And I pretty predominantly, until the last couple of years, just only watched WWE. So I went through like the different styles of wrestling, and I felt this fit best, which is what I enjoy wrestling and what my roster I feel fits the best. And you're probably going to give me crap for how to pronounce it, but Puro Osu style. Puro Osu?
It's basically the strong style.
Kind of, yeah. But it said this type of wrestling originated from Japan, where the moves are based on full contact martial arts, strikes, kicks, punches, takedowns, submission maneuvers. It was first popularized in Japan by Momota. Followed by the likes of Muda and Kenta Kobashi. In America, though, people will know that Hideo Itami, Finn Balor are the ones that are doing it big here. And I feel like that with the Zack Sabres, the Will Ospreys, the Bobby Fishes, and all the Adam Cole, I feel like that would be a really cool, entertaining style of wrestling for my
roster.
There you
go. I'm going for a hybrid of two of my favorite feds from the past, and that would be Bill Watts UWF and the early days of Extreme Championship Wrestling. So it's hard-hitting, character-based, and a little gimmicky at times.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, based on my roster and where I'm placed, I have a lot of second-generation, third-generation guys, which gives you the name value. But you've also got a lot of younger guys that can work some different styles. So it's one of those things where you've got guys on my roster like Shelton Benjamin and Nick Dinsmore and Charlie Haas that all have like a real wrestling background. So you can do some old school 20-minute, you know, like TV wrestling matches. But you've also got guys on the roster like Trevor Murdoch and RVD and Carlito and Tajiri that have all worked that extreme style where you can work in weapons and gimmicks.
So is it going to be like early ECW where it's every match has an extreme element to it? Or
no,
it's
no,
just...
no. See, what you're confused by is what the early days of Extreme Championship
wrestling what I saw on MSG before it became like... Like when they started to do a crossover on Monday Night Raw.
I'm talking 3 years before that, when you would go see a card and you would see Dean Malenko.
So it wasn't on MSG yet. It wasn't on at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday on MSG.
Not up here. It was based down in New York City, Connecticut, Philly, New Jersey. Yeah. As far as cable went.
Yeah.
But you would have the Dean Malenko match where you would get a 30-minute like... old school wrestling match.
Okay.
And then you would get the Lucha Libre, and then you would get the Sandman that would come out and cane everybody, and then you would have like the gangsters versus the eliminators, and it would just be this big brawl. And then you go back and you'd have like another wrestling match with, you know, Shane Douglas and Too Cold Scorpio, you know? So
when did that change? Because
When WCW started really taking talent from ECW is when ECW became less diverse and more one note.
That was what, 95? 96, 94?
I would say 96, 97.
96, 97, yeah, because, yeah, that's...
Or maybe even 97, 98.
Yeah, I was going to say 96, because it was when I was, it was when I was like a freshman, sophomore in college is when it finally got on MSG up here. So, yeah, I would say right around that time. But did Heyman always own it?
He was partners for a while with Todd Gordon. He had money people over the years. So, and ultimately, at the end, it was his.
Yeah, at the end, it was his. But when it went to that crazy extreme, was...
That was him. That was after Todd Gordon had left.
That was
because Todd Gordon was sniffed out for being a mole for WCW.
So what made him want to go in that direction?
It's the Pauly method of booking, is you go with your guy's strengths and try and hide their weaknesses. And at that point, all of his good... wrestling wrestlers had been taken away, all that was really left was these extreme guys.
Shove cans on there. But then you would have, like, how come guys like Sabu were never, like, taken? Just because he wasn't good on the mic? Because he was doing that crazy high-flyer stuff that now pretty much everybody does.
He had his stints, but it really boils down to the fact that he was old, broken, and hard to work with.
Oh, was that?
Yeah.
Because he never seemed broken because he always was out there doing crazy shit. I just always wondered why he never got that call up, but why he never got taken away like the other guys did.
He was in WCW for a while, and he was hard to work with, so let him go back to ECW, and he did his thing, and then he went to the WWE version of ECW, wrestled for WWE.
I remember that,
And hard to work with, injured.
When was he in WCW?
90.
Like early 90s?
99.
Oh, really? During NWO days? No, he was like the main guy on ECW.
No, because he kept leaving and going back.
He went back and forth. Wow, I don't remember him in WCW at all. He was always my favorite.
WCW Saturday night.
He was always my favorite on ECW, him and RVD. I didn't like the crazy. I couldn't get into the guys that were just wanted to... kill people. Like, it was entertaining to watch, but as far as, like, a favorite wrestler, I wanted to see an athlete do his thing. And I felt like there were guys out there that, like, the Van Dams are doing all this cool, crazy shit or martial art style, and then there are other guys like Sandman who's just beating cans over his head and, you know, sticks and just killing people. So, like, it was that... So I always migrated towards those type of guys. I was always wondering why an RVD got picked, but not the other guy.
Because Van Damme was more athletic, way younger.
He had that look, too.
Yeah.
He had a clean-cut look that the ladies could love, and dudes were like, yeah, he's cool. And he smoked a lot of weed. All right, man, so that's it. So that's our roster. So, okay, let me write this down now in case we don't talk. What are we doing for next week?
Six more guys. You implement your titles. It's up to you how many you want to have, what they want to be called, and then how you're going to name your champions.
So when you say when you say name the champions,
how are you going to put titles on dudes?
So I got to book a match, not just say this person is my heavyweight.
Or you can just say this dude's my champ, this dude's my secondary champ, these are my tag champs.
Well, how do you want to do it?
It doesn't matter how I want to do it, because I'm going to do it my way, you're going to do it yours.
Well, no, I feel like what's best about this is that if we kind of stay to the same format, so if we're both going to come up with six more, we're both going to come up with titles.
Because at this point, we've established our feds and who's in them. Now you're a booker, and I'm a booker.
Yeah.
So this is where we can start to get a little wild and do things a little bit differently. So you come up with a system for how you're going to name your champions, and I'll come up with mine once we add the new six guys.
What's normal since you've been in this world? If you like come up with a new promotion and you're starting it, like when you guys came up with 2CW, was it like, okay, all of a sudden
we didn't have a champion for almost 2 years. We just ran cards.
Okay, so do you, but are there federations out there, companies that just say, hey, you know what, this guy's our champ as soon as they start?
A lot of times that's how you just start with.
Okay, this is that's what I was wondering. Yeah. I didn't know if there was a right way, wrong way, normal way. Okay. Name of champions and how I get them there.
And six more dudes.
And then after that, what are we doing?
We will talk about our initial cards.
Okay.
And what characters we are going to, what each guy. Two-sentence summary of what this guy means on your roster and what his job is.
Okay.
And that'll probably be a long one.
Yeah. We'll probably have to divide that up like 12 and 12 or whatever. I don't have time on my schedule to come up with 24 personalities.
That's why I'm telling you now, because it's 2 weeks away.
Oh, Jesus. All right, man.
It's not
so,
like you do any work at work.
You don't know. So, Extreme Rules 2017.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Tomorrow, you mean?
Tomorrow.
Or is it next Sunday?
No, this Sunday, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
June 4th.
Tomorrow.
Yep, June 4th. So we'll run down the card. We haven't really talked about any type of wrestling happening over like the last month because it's kind of been boring. And then let's put a bet on it. That seems to be like the most fun people have.
All right.
So first, what do you want the bet to be? We've done hair.
Tattoos.
I'm not doing a tattoo, man. I'm not, like, if I'm doing a tattoo, it's got to be something that, it's not over extreme
rules.
I want
you to tattoo my name on the bottom of your foot.
I know you do, and that would hurt and tickle, and.
Just man up, man.
Why would I want to man up for that?
You'd prove you're
a
man.
I would get the Rock on my foot before I got Dixon on
my
foot.
Just my DXN logo.
The DXN.
On the bottom of your foot.
Put it on my ass cheek.
That's fine, too.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
That way when dudes are taking you.
What? Jeez. They follow the hashtag DXN. Yeah. Why is DXN trending so much? Oh, yeah. Bailey's having
Jay's
some fun tonight.
Jay's a whore.
all right. Well, we'll figure out the bet. All right. So let's start off with the mixed tag team match, Rick Swan and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Who you got in this?
I didn't know this was actually a match. This is embarrassing.
Where did Sasha go? Trying to get her to rub off on the
cruiserweights. I'm going to go Sasha Swan just because that's sort of the plan.
Yeah, I got to see. I think that as well. I mean, I just can't imagine. And unless they want to extend this, and you have the bad guys win, but I gotta assume Sasha's getting in Swan. All right, the next one, which is a submission match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship, Neville versus Austin Aries.
Well, since Austin Aries won on TV last time, that means Neville's going over.
Austin won Monday night?
Tuesday night.
Or Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna take Neville anyway. I just think that his reign. I could see Austin though, but he's the bad. He's the good guy in this, right?
Yeah, he's got to chase a little more.
All right, so we both have Neville for the steel cage tag team match for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. The Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
I'm gonna go Hardys.
Gosh, I think the Hardys.
Unfortunately.
What's the bet?
I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to make a pick until I know what the bet is. Because if we're just going to pick, I feel like we're just going
to
pick.
Let's
the same
wait till
people.
Like there's a real pay per view to do a bet. Let's just
all
get
right.
through this.
I'll go with.
This is basically just a glorified Raw.
That's pretty. There's some pretty high octane matches here. I think I'm going to go with Cesaro and Sheamus. I think that maybe the Hardy Boys want to go after the belts. And maybe they can get a little bit more money that way instead of always just being the champs and beating everyone. And Cesaro and Sheamus are stepping up. So I'll go with them. So JV's got that, and then Dixon's got the Hardys, even though the Hardys probably win. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley for the kendo stick on a pole match for the Raw Women's Championship.
Alexa Bliss, best butt in the business.
Yeah, I've really come around on her.
Right?
You had it from the beginning, man. You've had it. Yeah, there's a good hashtag right there. Would you let a girl that hot take you? Would you ever let a girl use a strap on?
No.
No, ever?
No.
No. Okay.
That means I know your answer.
No, I've never. I just figured
you would,
that.
Though.
I figured
you would.
I would never. You would. Nor have I ever. But I know.
You're
no.
So
but we
red
were talking
right now
about famous people that I know that have had that enjoy that. That I was just wondering. You're a kinky mofo. You've done everything else. I mean, you knew about jerking off with a banana, so I just assumed that you've tried that once. Yeah, I'll go with Bliss on that.
She's so good.
By the way, that was one of the worst segments of Raw,
that was
the history
bad,
of Raw.
Bad. And you could tell that she was over it too, man. Like,
I felt like everybody was in there. I'm like, why are they giving that much? The reason why, first of all, you have to establish characters that actually have big personalities, like Mankind and The Rock when you did it for The Rock, okay? Two is, they never gave people that much, like the non-wrestlers, the actors, that meant that much time to actually say anything. It was like they would say one or two lines, and The Rock would use a coin phrase to shut them up, and then be then. There was a movement to it. This just,
it was just bad writing. It was bad writing.
Like, why did they put so much in like people in other people's hands that aren't even part of the company? It didn't even make sense. It was just, yeah, it was probably one of the most awkward wrestling things I've ever watched. It felt like when somebody's performing and one of those singing shows, and they're just sucking, and you're just like, oh gosh, I do not want to watch
that
this
I
anymore.
Actually enjoy.
You do? Yeah. See, I can't. That's why I don't like those competition shows, because I don't like to see people fail.
I don't watch them either, but
I always like to see people do well. And so, like, that was just a failure. For the singles match, so we both have Bliss on that. Singles match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Miz.
If Ambrose is disqualified, he loses the title. Ambrose
versus Miz.
Here's
how it's going to go down.
Okay.
Elias Sampson comes in, gets Dean Ambrose disqualified, Miz gets the belt, Miz now has some muscle to get Elias Sampson over as a heel.
Why would Miz give him muscle? Because he's going to become part of the Miz staple?
Not like, stable so much, but the bodyguard character usually works really well when it's a heel like Miz that doesn't want to step up and fight.
You have to put the belt on Miz. You have to. Like, he's just... That was what the belt, when it was on SmackDown, that's what was great about it. And Ambrose is just, nobody gives a crap that he has the belt. The fans that love him only care if he's chasing it. I like that idea of the Drifter, though, because the last couple of weeks he's been in. He's got a big build, too, man. He's a solid guy. He can move around pretty well. I was impressed with him the last couple of weeks. I didn't
so
watch him
turned
too much.
You on, is what you're saying.
Jeez, I can't even talk wrestling here. I was. When you what go, I'm like, saying oh, is
he's
that
got
I didn't,
such a nice body. His build
dude,
is just
he's pretty jacked, man. He's jacked, but he's not like overly jacked where it just is awkward.
But my biggest complaint is here's another guy wrestling in jeans.
I know. What is that? It's like the style. Like, everybody wants to wrestle in jeans. I don't
it's
get
so
it.
So indie-rific. It's annoying.
Well, it's like I'm going to be different because everybody's in trunks, so I'll wear jeans. But everybody's wearing jeans.
Yeah.
I want to see the guy like
jeggings, really.
What's that?
They're jeggings.
Oh, they're not even real
they're
jeans.
Jean leggings.
Dean Ambrose is wearing real jeans.
Sometimes. And sometimes
that dude
they're
is
jeggings.
Like, I want to see like a Miz just come out in a full on suit and just wrestle in a suit, tie and all, and just
Titus
go at
did it a few weeks ago. That's your favorite guy.
Yeah, he is pretty cool. My buddies that I went to the wedding with a couple months ago, they did a video shoot with him. Said he was the nicest guy. Yep, and he said hi to me via text. That's right. Name drop. Fatal 5-Way Extreme Rules match to determine the number one contender for the WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt versus Samoa Joe to face Brock Lesnar.
Well, who won on TV Monday night? Joe and Rollins, right? Or Joe and Reigns?
No, it was Rollins and Reigns, and then Reigns knocked Rollins. No. They didn't fight. Reigns beat Rollins in a one-on-one match.
Joe won the three-way.
And then, no, I think Bray did. And then Joe beat him up at the end.
No, Joe got the pinfall. Who choked out? Who was the...
He was choking out, and then Bray came in and did sister... Either way, Bray was the one that was the last one standing, so he was the one
it's
in the
Finn.
Ring.
Finn's going to win.
You think they're going to put Finn versus Brock with all of his injuries
and
all that?
They wouldn't have done the Heyman angle 2 weeks ago if it wasn't.
So do you think they go with Reigns versus Rollins to SummerSlam? Or do you think they still go with Seth, Joe, Reigns, Wyatt?
I think you go Reigns, Wyatt, Seth, Joe,
just because that's the way. Yeah, I mean, to me, I'll go different. I do like your idea about Finn, but I think that I feel like they're going Finn versus Bray for some reason.
That'll be the SummerSlam match because it's not like Finn's going to take the title off Brock.
Yeah, but isn't that the next? They only have one more before SummerSlam.
Right, but Reigns Lesnar is already in the books for WrestleMania, so that can't happen yet.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't think it's Reigns. I think it's
definitely not Rollins.
I think it's, but I think Finn
definitely
goes.
Definitely not Bray. So it's either
Joe or Rollins.
And they haven't built Joe enough.
And everybody else in there, I'm going to say Seth Rollins.
Well, you're wrong, but.
Yeah, well, of course I am.
Sun even shines on a dog's ass some days.
Well, here's my question to you. Are they booking Brock as a heel or a face from now on?
Doesn't matter. He's always going to be a tweener.
Well, it does story-wise.
You have to keep him as a tweener in order to keep things like this five-way interesting.
He won't be a tweener if he's going against Finn. Everybody
right, and
will
then
be
they'll book him.
That's what I'm saying.
To Finn as a heel, and then after Finn, he goes back to being a tweener.
So that's what I'm saying. Do you see him as
I think
a heel in the next pay-per-view match?
I think
match
at this
him?
Point there are decided heels and faces, and then a lot of guys that run right down the middle, depending on who they're working.
Yeah, I think it's definitely between Finn and Seth. Reigns definitely not. Bray Wyatt, no. And Samoa Joe, no. So it comes down between Rollins and Finn. You'll take Finn, I'll take Rollins.
There you go.
All right. Let me just write that down. You got them. Okay, cool. One last thing on wrestling that I want to talk about or see if you have seen. Have you seen the trailer for the Netflix Glow?
No, I have not.
Dude, the trailer looks awesome, man.
Who's
it looks
playing
really
Mount
good.
Fuji?
Gosh, the Allison Brie from Community is the star of it.
Okay, so she's like the farmer's daughter or whatever.
Yeah, she's like an actress who goes out there and failed actress, so they bring her in. And oh god, who is the wrestling promoter that starts the whole thing? He's a pretty big name. I can't think if it's is it Paul Giamatti, Sam Rockwell, somebody that's like really good. But it looks well done. It's not. It looks like a really well-done Netflix-style show.
Did you ever watch Glow when you were a kid?
No, but I went on to YouTube and watched it.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad, it was good.
But everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but they do that very similar with the characters and all that, but then you get to learn the stories behind them. But that drops June 23rd. I just thought that'll be that's something that you and I should watch and then talk about on the podcast.
Maybe.
Come on, man. That's fun stuff to watch.
I don't
watch.
Have a lot of time to watch stuff.
Yeah, but your wife would love that one. That's something that you and your wife can like just hang out. We don't have to binge it. I'm not saying watch the whole season at one time, but
yeah. I don't have to like come to, you know.
What's that?
I don't have to like get Netflix, right? Like I can just use your password.
Yeah.
There we go.
Pretty much like the WWE. Have you guys watched the network since I gave you my password?
No.
That's right, E. I shared my password. Suck it. What you gonna do? I guess you can only use it for two, so we're okay.
Huh. I thought you stole it from one of your friends.
I did originally, and then I bought it so you could watch WrestleMania. I bought it just for you. Seriously, that's 100% the truth.
Then I owe you $5.
No, you don't. I love you, brother. Even though you think that I have anal sex with guys nonstop, I still love you. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Anal and oral, if we're getting it right.
Would I be gay if a girl did use a strap-on on me?
No.
That's not gay, right?
No.
Just asking. A friend was asking.
If she goes ass to mouth on you, that makes you a little gay, but not full
I think you're gay if you take the. I think you're gay if you take the strap on in the mouth. There's like that's what's the point of that? That's like you want a penis in your mouth.
Do you, Jay?
What? No, I said that would be gay. No. I was just wondering if you took a strap on, would that be gay?
No.
If as long as it's
talk
strapped
to the
onto
wife,
a girl.
Man. They sell that stuff discreetly online. You can figure it out.
Yeah, of course, man.
Brown people.
Well, no, I'll tell my buddy that and my wife. Come on now. I wanted to touch on something last week, and that wraps up our wrestling. So now we'll get into the fun stuff. Chris Cornell.
Nope.
He passed away, and he was he was my favorite voice and singer of that generation, of that era of music. Audioslave, to me, was one of my favorite rock bands. Like, I liked them more than Soundgarden. Wasn't really into that type of music at the time. To me, he's one of the greatest voices of all time. But I wasn't one of those guys that knew everything about him, so I'm not trying to be a poser. I just really liked his music and his voice. I know that he meant something to you. And his sudden death kind of hit you in a way. So I just wanted to have you say something about him.
I don't know. It's detached at this point because it seems like it's been a while since it happened. And then I had another friend commit suicide last Saturday. So it's not really something I want to get into right now because it's going to, you know.
Can you at least say what he meant musically? Not, you don't have to get into it like how what he meant to you personally, relationships or anything like that, but just what musically, what he meant or what you recommend people to go listen to that could, you know, give them a better idea of who he was.
I mean, truthfully, like, I was a big Soundgarden fan from the early days, you know, whether it was Screaming Life, Fop, or Louder Than Love. They got some commercial success from Bad Motor Finger Forward. I was not the biggest Audioslave fan, despite the fact that I liked Chris, and I was a big Rage Against the Machine fan. I thought a lot of his solo material was a little self-indulgent and kind of, meh. But, you know, if you look back on Seattle and in the Big Four, which was Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and Nirvana.
They were first, right? Soundgarden? Like, they were before all those?
As far as the mainstream, but they didn't break first. Nirvana definitely broke first.
Yeah.
But when you look at those four guys, nobody was surprised when Kurt killed himself or Courtney had him killed or whatever you want to go with a theory on that. Everybody knew Lane was going to overdose. You know, and Chris was the one that you felt like he had his shit together, that he had...
Him and Eddie.
Not so much. Well, I don't want to get into this because it's well, going to pay me to be an asshole, but...
You don't have to talk about that.
Eddie, to me, always sort of put on that front that he had these demons and dark thoughts and whatever else. Like, Eddie was too much of a mainstream fan of things, whether it was the NBA or surfing or other musical acts. And a lot of times I think early Eddie Vedder came off fake to me. And it doesn't take away from my adoration of the early Pearl Jam music, but I think the character of Eddie Vedder through the first three records was a little bit of a put on because Eddie was and still is to this day, from what I understand, kind of a control freak, and he does what he wants and gets his way in that band, and he cries and whines like a little pussy.
Jesus.
Well, no, I mean, I've got a book I'll let you borrow written by a girl that used to write for Rolling Stone, but like he pushed, you know, Dave Abruzzese out of the band and hired his buddy Jack Irons, who was the original Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer who didn't belong in Pearl Jam. And think about those three or four records that happened between Verses and Sirens. Those were all Jack Irons records. And the reason those records were garbage was because of Jack Irons. And Eddie Vedder forced that situation upon the band. And it wasn't until Matt Cameron, who was on a break from Soundgarden, stepped into Pearl Jam and righted the ship. So in my opinion, I like Pearl Jam musically. I don't have a lot of respect for Eddie Vedder as a person. And in no way did I ever think Eddie was suicidal or dark or filled with demons. I think Eddie is a put-on. I think he's a fantastic frontman and singer, but I don't ever think in any way, shape, or form was Eddie as dark as the other three guys. Now, if you take Eddie out of the equation, you talk about those three guys, Chris was the one that you expected to have his shit together, despite the fact that he had his own personal demons with prescription pills and heroin and the demon alcohol. You felt like Chris had that, and I don't know if it was because of his physical appearance or the affronts that he would put out via the press, but you always felt like Chris was more down to earth, you know, more real, less rock star. Where with Kurt and Lane,
it was weird.
They were so affected by drugs.
Kurt was like so into the artist world, and like that's the dark, the demons of it, which came into the music, and Lane was much more of like the party rock star, and he lived the role. Yeah. I'm not saying he didn't have demons. Obviously, you do when you're that far into it. But like he felt like it was just out of control rather than, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I mean, Chris felt like he, whether it's, you know, writing music for movies or, you know, or starting another band and the type of music, like he, you just felt like he was somebody that was evolving. He always felt like he was evolving.
To a degree,
not like good, but like personally.
I mean, if you're looking for one piece of music to go listen to that I think sums up Chris Cornell's poetic nature and his voice and his point of view, go get the Temple of the Dog record. He wrote it for Andrew Wood, who was the singer of Mother Love Bone, who also met an early demise due to drugs. But there's just song after song of deep, wonderful, and beautiful music on that album. It's Chris Cornell, Matt Cameron of Soundgarden. Kim Thayil played on quite a bit of it as well. He's a guitar player from Soundgarden. Jeff Ament, bass player of Pearl Jam. Stone Gossard, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam. And then some other contributors as well.
I think that was my favorite. That was when I first started to like the grunge music.
Go and listen to that album and listen to the song Times of Trouble. Because to me, that was the one I played on the air for my DJ shift that I think really epitomized what I was feeling at the time when I found out the news about Chris Cornell. And it's also, if you want like a little weird Seattle trivia, Times of Trouble musically is also the B-side to the Jeremy single Footsteps by Pearl Jam, just with different lyrics and Eddie Vedder singing on it. And on that note, I'm gonna go take a leak.
So okay.
I'm bummed out.
Oh, man, I didn't mean to bum you out.
No. Well, we're back. The peeing was good. The cigarette was even better.
Yeah. Is that like kind of like a sex thing for you? Do you have to smoke after you have sex?
Yeah. Sometimes during.
So is that like a penis stimulation? Like you pee, you smoke, you ejaculate, you smoke?
No.
No?
I don't typically ejaculate.
How do you not?
It doesn't happen.
Just doesn't happen.
No,
like ever. Like even when you're jerking off, it doesn't happen.
I don't anymore.
You don't even do that anymore.
No. Doesn't interest me.
Dang. How do you know about all that porn?
It doesn't mean I don't watch porn.
So you watch porn, but you just don't. You don't do anything while you're watching it. I feel like that's like.
It's like for me, it's like a social experiment.
It's so based on what? What do you?
Because I don't watch like produced porn. I only watch like
the
homemade stuff that gets posted.
So does it give you, like, ideas? Like, when you say it's a social experiment?
It just, it gives you a good indication of, you know, because, like, you see women on the street, and you're like, oh, there's no way they would ever do porn, and then you get online, and it's like, oh, my God, there's that lady that I walked by at the gas station.
Have you ever done a name search for somebody that you know to see if they've been porn or if they're, like, ex-boyfriend?
No, there's a lot of girls from Syracuse that have done porn and cam work,
In Syracuse?
Yeah.
You're going to have to show me pictures of them, man. I can't picture anybody in Syracuse doing porn.
There's quite a bit.
Let me rephrase that. I can't picture anybody wanting to watch anyone from Syracuse that does
porn. Well, they're all like mostly wannabe suicide girls, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like heavy tatted.
Oh, you love those.
Sometimes.
Like, that was your top five, man, besides Jennifer Hudson.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, a couple things that I thought that you would like. So you'll soon be able to buy marijuana-infused coffee pods that will be compatible with Keurig coffee makers. Brew Buds Weed Coffee Pods go on sale in Nevada in June and California and Colorado after that. Each pod contains about 10 milligrams of THC.
Mm, I can't drink coffee anymore, so.
But do you think that would be a good way for me to get high?
Maybe.
Or do you think, how much is 10?
I don't know how much the caffeine affects it.
That's true. So it could be like a high, like where you got high energy?
No, it could negate.
The caffeine.
The caffeine could negate the THC.
So what would be the point of it?
It's just a way. I mean, it's
kind of cool,
it's a
though.
Scam.
That could, but that's, I like how they're trying to get weed, THC, in other ways other than smoking for people that need it.
Just watch the show Bon Appetit on Vice.
By the way, did you know our boy, dude, your pee break shot my brain. What's his face? Rapper from
Action Bronson?
Yeah, Bronson. Do you see that he's got a new Snapchat show
mm-hmm.
that's weed based.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he is. Well, he thinks outside the box too, man. He's a hustler. It's not
certainly
like,
is.
The other thing, Starbucks is testing coffee ice cubes. That means customers can order an ice drink and add ice cubes made from Starbucks coffee. It costs an extra 80 cents. For now, they're testing it in Baltimore and St. Louis. It's a lot of coffee, yo.
Yeah.
Don't you at some point need some water?
Maybe. That's why I drink 3 gallons a day. Yo, that unicorn frappuccino, bullshit. It's gross. You know what's not gross? The pink drink. Get the pink drink.
Pink drink at now. Starbucks?
Yeah.
I think you like Starbucks.
I like
besides
that
the
pink
iced tea
drink,
that I brought you.
And I like that pink drink.
What's the pink drink?
Like strawberries and cream kind of thing.
Is it like a smoothie? Or is it like that? I like
it's,
their...
it's a frappuccino, essentially.
Oh.
It's fabulous.
Really? Is that your B choice?
Sure.
All right.
Let's make it that. It's now on the menu. It's not on the secret menu no more.
They have a secret menu, Starbucks? Yeah. Like every Starbucks has a secret menu?
No, you kind of got to know what's in the drink and they'll make it for you. But like the pink drink was one of those things that was on the secret menu and they finally, people ordered it enough. They're like, you know, like fuck it. Let's just put it on the menu.
That's awesome. I'll have to try that, man. But I don't like too much. It's got a lot of sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that. So here's something. Instagram is adding another Snapchat-like feature, which is like 8 face filters, including twitching animal ears and a butterfly crown that users can add to their selfies. That's literally a complete ripoff. Mm-hmm. And those Snapchat people, they because all of these, like Facebook, Instagram are starting to do it, like that stock plummeted big time. But something that came out of this that I was reading that I thought was interesting, men take twice as many selfies as women do. Can you believe that?
No.
Yep. Samsung. Maybe dudes like you. Samsung didn't. I was going to say right here. I got it written down. This is so you, Dixon. I don't do selfies. I don't post anything about me, man. You're always taking like pictures of yourself doing cool stuff.
It's a requirement of my job, dude.
Well, hey, it's still a selfie. Twice as many.
I get paid.
See, twice as many. You're a man. I'm a girl. According to you, I'm a woman. So you take twice as many as me.
You just wear dumb hats and.
I haven't.
Silly
I don't
suits.
Wear any. I wore one hat.
And I hope
once.
You burned it.
No way, man. I'm going to rock that out.
I'm going to burn it while it's on your head.
You can't do that. It's illegal. You can't do that. Don't
bet
do
me
that.
Money.
You would do that too, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it would go up quick because it's made of straw.
That is true. What? All right, dude, this is for you. All right? Breakfast is getting a sugary makeover. Do you see this? Kellogg's has created a Jolly Rancher Pop-Tart. And watermelon, cherry, and green apple flavors. And General Mills is giving away 10,000 Lucky Charm boxes with just the marshmallows.
I already signed up under a bunch of different email addresses for the marshmallows, but those flavored Pop-Tarts can suck a dick.
First of all, why didn't you tell me? I'd get you a box of marshmallows. Just tell me how to do it, and I'll sign up for you. Man, I love you, bro. I'll get you marshmallows. You want some fucking marshmallows?
Oh, no, I'll win one of them.
I'll buy 1,000 boxes of Lucky Charms and pick out the marshmallows and just give it to you.
You don't have to do that.
I'm
not that big a fan.
For you.
I don't even want it to eat it. I just want it to have it and then resell on eBay in like 3 months.
Speaking of reselling, if you see anything about the Rock shoes in size 11 on eBay, let me know because I want to buy them. Jolly Rancher Pop-Tarts, you don't want it? In on
nope.
That?
I had the Orange Crush ones, had the root beer ones, both disgusting.
Dude, Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
No, yeah. that is false, sir.
That you get like the cherry, strawberry,
nope.
Or whatever. What do you like?
Brown sugar cinnamon.
They're just, how do you have teeth, man?
What do you mean?
Like that's just nothing but sugar like, on the outside and in the inside. Do you toast it or do you eat them plain?
This I like them toasted.
Yeah, you got to do toasted. Anybody who just rips them out of the package.
I decided that when I open my food truck eventually in life, the only dessert I'm going to offer are Pop-Tart ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, that's pretty dope. You shouldn't have said that, man.
Chocolate fudge on the outside, vanilla ice cream in the middle, dip them in chocolate.
Can I get sprinkles?
Dirty. Of course you can.
Yes.
It's
Rainbow?
Your nickname.
Rainbow?
Yeah.
Fancy J sprinkles. Did you trademark that? Copyright that ass, dude, because somebody is going to hear this and they're going to totally.
Just make them at home for now. If anybody makes a commercial version of it, I'll come to your house and kill you while you sleep.
Or he'll burn your hat when you're wearing it. This was pretty cool news. So FXX has ordered an adult animated comedy series for what the hell is his name? Deadpool.
Interesting.
And do you know...
As played by Ryan Reynolds?
No, it's animated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll voice it. Do you know who is the creator and will be the showrunner of this?
You.
Donald motherfucking Glover.
Oh, nice.
Childish Gambino. Dude, his show Atlanta was awesome. He is really smart. He has that kind of comedic sensibility. His stand-ups are hilarious. Watch him on Netflix. But I think he's a perfect voice for that Deadpool character and world.
Yeah, animated. I don't That'd disagree.
Be
fun.
That could be really cool. What are your Tiger Woods, y'all? Yo.
All of my heroes have now been sullied. Jimmy Snuka is a murderer. Hulk Hogan's a racist. Kobe Bryant rapes people.
No, he does not. He's
a raper.
Bill Cosby's
a raper.
No, Kobe Bryant is not.
Kobe Bryant rapes her.
Love Kobe Bryant.
He's
he
a
did
raper.
Not. She totally raper. Wanted it, and she had five different things of different types of semen from different people in her panties.
Homegirl was just,
why? No. But I do hear you on your hero part.
You know, and then Tiger Woods, okay, cool, you're not drunk, you're on prescription drugs. Fuck you doing out at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you probably just fucked us like a stripper or a prostitute.
Well, yeah, we don't know that. I mean, that's just what we're thinking. But here's my thing. There's been this debate on the whole Tiger Woods issue. If you guys don't know, he was arrested on Sunday night?
Sunday into Monday, yeah.
Sunday into Monday. Couple miles from his house. TMZ reported it all wrong initially. He passed a breathalyzer test. He didn't have 1 ounce of alcohol in his system. He did not give the cops any issues. He admitted everything he had. He had 4 different prescription meds in his car. He said that he was on 3 of them. One of them he hadn't, which I think became illegal. He hasn't taken in over a year. But the debate that's going on right now that is a weird debate for me. It's that people, are you more sympathetic towards Tiger because it wasn't alcohol and it was pain meds? Because people are like, oh, okay, he wasn't wasted. It was just pain meds. So it's not as bad.
No, it's still bad. He could still kill somebody. I want to know why he was out at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Dude, he was passed out at the wheel at a stoplight, and the cops watching for 20 minutes. That video is insane, watching that. To me, I don't care if you're on pain meds. I don't care how much pain he's in. I don't care what's going on. And you're behind a freaking wheel where you can't even stay awake. If he's say somebody's crossing that street, and he falls asleep or wakes up and his foot goes off the brake pedal or onto the whatever it might be, dude. You no matter what's in your system, if you're that freaking messed up, you just drew a picture. Who's that? The guy you want to kill?
No, it's a guy with 2 hook hands,
and he's got a nice mustache.
Yeah,
God, I was in the middle of an awesome rant, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting how people are trying to steer it in a way where it's more sympathetic. And listen, I'm not.
That's his
I'm
publicist and his team, man. They're manipulating
the media.
But
I'm not coming down on Tiger. I'm not coming down on Tiger. I don't know if he's addicted to pain pads. I don't know how much pain he's in, whatever it might be.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. I mean, he was, and it was all because he couldn't have that crazy sex anymore. I really do think it's that. He couldn't have that edge, that personality behind closed doors. Everything is public now. So no matter what he does, it's open. And that's what helped him stay, I feel like, at that level. And when you rip that from him and he had to be normal, or he had to do everything perfect, he just lost it. He lost his edge.
Maybe.
But the great thing about America is with every down, they rise back up.
I don't think he's coming back.
I don't know about being golfing, but I think that he will. I think that he can do something. I just wanted to know your take, if you felt you know what? I don't look at it as bad with him driving because it was painkillers and not alcohol.
No, fuck that, dude.
Yeah. I just don't get this. But here is my favorite story of the week. This we're going to have some fun with. So, did you hear about Noel Gallagher's the British rock half of Oasis, a.k.a. the Potato, how he celebrated his 50th birthday.
Nope.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yes! So he celebrated his 50th birthday in, like, with crazy celebrities. Madonna, Bono, Damon Albarn, Michael Fassbender.
What band is Damon Albarn in?
David Albarn is the... is he Gorillaz, the lead singer for Gorillaz?
Yeah, what band was he in before that?
Dude, I don't freaking know.
Blur.
Oh, yeah. I like that song, Blur. Or that one song. Was it
Song 2?
Song 2? I was going to say Song 42. So he had this. It was a cocaine theme party. And you know the Netflix show Narcos?
Yeah.
So there's this famous show, Narcos. It's based on one of the biggest drug dealers in Central America and really highly acclaimed, awesome show. So he took the poster of that show and put his face over over the drug dealer's head. And that was like littered all over social media. That was at the house and everything. So he didn't invite any of his family completely. So... Liam went on social media and goes, who the fuck in their right mind broadcast they're having a cocaine-themed party? That's asking for a tug anyways, as you were. Then he goes, Potato's 50th. He's not invited. None of his family, not even his own mother. Says a lot about the man and his part planner pair of wankers. So, first of all, Noel has a long history with cocaine. The drug having served as fuel behind many of the Oasis songwriting sessions. He claimed to have kicked the habit back in 98 because of boredom. However, he's apparently comfortable enough to partake in a cocaine-themed party. So the other people were there, the Smith guitarist, Johnny Marr, Paul Simeon from The Clash. Is that how you say the last name? Simon? Simeon of The Clash?
I'm going to leave you hanging on that one, fella.
Okay. Primal Scream frontman Bobby Gillespie.
Gillespie,
Damon Albarn. We talked. Then they
had Damon.
Sorry, I always like to go with the black way. Stella McCarthy, Madonna, Bono was there.
Bono loves cocaine.
Look at the social media pictures, you guys, listeners, dude. Look this up, man. It's freaking hilarious. The pictures of this. Woody Harrelson, he loves weed. Liv Tyler, and this was all out there on social media by supermodel Helena Christensen. She was like documenting and taking the pictures. So this dude has a cocaine themed party. You have any good stories about him?
None whatsoever. I like Oasis. I think they're a good band.
What is the craziest theme party you've been to? And if you're Bono,
I don't really
go
to parties.
What's that?
I don't really go to parties.
Ever in your day? Mm. I can't believe like a Bono would go to a cocaine theme party.
Why wouldn't he?
Because he has that image, much like you were talking about Eddie Vedder, where you know he's out there saving lives and raising money. And
yeah, but
you two
hasn't been relevant in a decade.
That's not true. Maybe here in the States, but they sell out world tours all over the world. I mean, this is something where you're
really?
Going
what,
to...
Really? Name one song off their most recent album.
Dude, I don't know. I couldn't That's name you saying. A song since Joshua Tree, probably. I don't know their song, the titles of their song.
Exactly. That's why he can do what he does. Cause he...
No, it's like Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's not, like, you might not know any of his music that he's played in the last 5 years, but you know, he's an icon, he's a name, he's an image. To put your name with that, with a party that is based around an illegal drug, I don't know, man. It just kind of blows me away. Like all these famous,
I feel like you
are,
get to a certain level as a celebrity, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
You just don't care.
Yeah,
I think now I'll say this. I know these parties happen. I mean, hell, we've all been to them. What I'm saying is, I'm surprised that they allowed it to be broadcast on the world spectrum.
Maybe it's all a ploy.
Could be. It could be. If just look at the pictures and look at their eyes. Dude, Bono looks lit up. He looked old too, man.
He is old.
I know. But I feel like he's gotten aged since that Apple fiasco where their album dropped on everybody's iPhone and pissed people off. Like yeah. Since then, he's looks like 15 years older and nobody can take him serious. Because you were talking about self-indulgent. I mean, that pretty is self-indulgent right there.
Yeah.
Just assume everybody wants your album. And the album sucked.
Wasn't very good.
No. Your B side was A Tasty Drink.
Pink
Starbucks.
Drink.
Pink Drink.
Pink Drink.
My B side is
Strap On Dildos for Your Wife.
It's not gay if you don't take it in the mouth. Weird segue. Mondo Cosmo Live. This band, I'm going to let Dixon fill you in on more about them. I got to see them live. They were freaking awesome.
Good band.
Yeah, really good band. They did that. They did an awesome cover of Bittersweet Sympathy. Symphony. And, dude, it was awesome. It was like a different version, like more of a rock version of it. But I thought they were really, really good live, man.
They were good.
Yeah. So if they're coming to your town, Mondo Cosmo, spelled M-O-N-D-O space C-O-Z-M-O. You can listen to their stuff on Spotify, buy their music. But, I mean, they're, what, that one song, what's their?
Shine.
Shine. That's like a top 20 hit.
Yeah, it was the number one single at AAA Radio.
Yeah. So it's, so I'm sure you guys probably all know that song.
Stick with me, Jesus, through the common stone.
Yeah, that was good too. That he did.
He played it solo acoustic in the studio with me. I got goosebumps. It was good.
Yeah, man. I mean, a little bit more enthusiasm, but that's cool.
No, I mean,
it's good.
It's in the past.
Like, you're like, yeah, he's good. He's good. I got goosebumps. Yeah, he's good. Most people are like, goosebumps, man. It was like amazing. You're like, yeah, it was good. It's cool.
Dude, I've seen.
I know you're so
4,000
cool.
Shows, literally.
Yeah. And yeah, I know you have, but that's awesome that somebody still you can still get goosebumps.
Yeah, I mean it was you know something in a moment. You know what I mean? Like it's something.
I thought Mondo Cosmo was just the name of the dude.
No, his name is Josh Ostrander. He's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. His band is called Mondo Cosmo.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was a full band until I saw him. And
well, the guys without Josh are a band called Illinois.
Love Illinois,
like the state.
Yeah.
And,
Thank you for not pronouncing the S. That really pisses me off when people do that. S is silent.
Well, here's something. So
I used to live in Illinois.
Kansas.
Yes.
K-A-N-S-A-S.
Yeah.
Kansas. Why is it when you put an A-R in front of it, it becomes Arkansas? Why isn't it Arkansas? It's the same fucking word.
That is true. Arkansas. Arkansas. I don't know. Why is that?
I'm asking
Why
you.
Was there an A-R in front of it?
I don't know.
I'm going to look that up while you tell me your who do you hate this week?
I don't really hate anybody.
You've got to hate somebody, dude.
Right now, it's you.
Why?
You're bugging me.
See, then you wonder why I don't talk to you during the week, because I always feel like I'm bugging you.
You're not.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, like my biggest pet peeve, it's the same fucking thing, man. Like the only time in my life that I get uncontrollably angry is behind the wheel of a car. And with construction season upon us, I drive the same section of fucking 81 every day, and it's always some asshole in some fucking expensive luxury car or some beat up piece of shit that wants to zip by you on the right and not follow the fucking, you get a warning, 2 miles, this lane ends, 1.5 miles, this lane ends, no, I'm just going to zip up the side and fuck up traffic. It's called a zipper maneuver. You just, you go either a little faster or a little slower than the car, and you just casually move your way in. You don't just zip to the fucking front of the line and create a traffic jam. I don't give a fuck how much of a hurry you're in. You just impacted everybody else's day too, and that's why I've started filling up bottles with my own urine and carrying them around in my car, because when people do that stuff, I'll roll the window down and throw a bottle of piss in their car.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
You've literally thrown a bottle of piss in somebody's car?
Yes.
And what did they do?
They freaked out because they knew it was a bottle of piss.
Do you
and
have
hopefully
the cap
it
on it,
a lesson. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
That's good.
I just want them to know.
What you do, you know there's crazy son of a bitches out there now, man. Somebody's going to be shooting you. Look at those poor...
I've got a gun in my car.
Look at those people that stood up for in Portland, that stood up for those two women being harassed, and two of them got stabbed to death, and the other one is like in serious condition, all by just trying
you
to...
You think I don't carry a knife on me and I don't have a gun in my car? I have a conceal and carry permit, motherfucker.
You do not.
I do.
You have a gun?
Most days I have a gun in my
car. You have a gun and
a
knife?
A Glock, yes.
And like...
There's a machete in my trunk.
There is not.
Dude
you're really putting yourself in, like, not only are you saying this, last week you just said that you would purge people if you weren't ever going to get caught. And now you have a machete in your trunk?
Well, the machete stays in the trunk because you never know when you're really going to fucking need, like, a blade or a knife or something, and the machete is, like, a dual-purpose thing.
So you know what I mean? Like, so you would you okay? So say you throw a bottle of piss in somebody's car.
Yeah.
All right. Then they are like freaking road rage and they're following you wherever. Are you pulling over, getting out the machete out of your trunk, or showing them a gun? Or do
I've got a switchblade that sits between my seat in the center console.
But my point is, whatever form of weapon that you have, do you immediately get out of the car and do you pull over, or do you hope that their anger dissipates and they just leave you alone?
I'll engage a motherfucker. I don't care.
So you just go out and
I'll pull
just
over, and that's what the mirrors are for. You see what they're doing, and then you grab your switchblade, you hold it down to your side, you get out of the vehicle. If they don't have a weapon, you slide it into your pocket. If they do, motherfucker, I'm going to stab you.
What? Your poor wife, man. What? Have you ever? Have you ever thrown a bottle of piss in somebody's car with your wife in
the car? I'm on my best behavior in front of her. Like, I'll swear at people and like try and run them off the road if it's my side. Yeah. But
you've never got into a physical altercation with your wife present?
Once at Price Chopper.
What?
Yeah.
How? Okay, tell that story.
I don't even know if I remember how it started, but like this dude got real mouthy and then
Price Chopper Midler?
No. This was Cicero. She was like out in front because she like we use her debit card for groceries and we just put the money in the bank.
Yeah,
it's more information than you need. But no, she was up at the credit card thing. I'm in the middle. I got the groceries on the conveyor. I'm making sure that the fucking kid ringing us out is ringing shit up right. And this dude like decides he's gonna ram his fucking cart into me. So I shoved it back at him, and I was like, "Watch it, dude."
While you're standing there, he just rams a cart.
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
So he's like, he said something derogatory, like, what are you going to do about it? So I fucking shoved the cart back at him into an end cap and pinned him there and explained to him in no uncertain detail exactly what I would do to him if my wife wasn't present. And, you know, got so really uncomfortable for like, gathered a crowd. He stopped. I mean, dude, this was back when I was like closer to like 240, 250, That's awesome. Still had a lot of rage inside me. Like,
was he like, "Yo, just calm down, man"? Like, calm down, or was he?
No, at first he was trying to get unpinned from between the cart and the end cap that had all the pasta on it, and it made pasta fall and hit him in the head. And I held him there, and I was like, "Listen, motherfucker, like this is how it's gonna go."
What was your wife doing at the time?
She literally just fucking left me there.
Oh shit! She
must've got embarrassed and walked away.
So she paid and then just walked away.
Yeah, with our groceries. So I turn around and like there's like three store managers and a bunch of clerks like standing there because I think they thought I was going to fucking murder this guy because I say some outlandish shit when I'm angry and in the moment.
Were the cops called?
No.
So you get out to the car. Is she already loaded the groceries into the car at that point?
No, she's just standing out front on the sidewalk waiting for me.
And then when you come out
there. Because I had the keys.
What does she say?
She's like, "I can't believe you." And I'm just like, he hit me with his cart and she's like, "Most normal people would just say something mean and leave it alone, but not my husband." You're right, yeah.
Now, is she one of those that just lets it go after she says her piece, or does she...
She knows that you can't take the hood rat out of the hood, you know what I mean? Like, or the hood out of
but
the hood
I didn't
rat.
Know if like if she gives you a silent treatment for a little bit, or you know, like, you're pissed.
No, because she knew going in. I mean, like, she saw... Before we were married, like, I was friends with her sister for years and years and years. So she was at shows where I was throwing people downstairs and choking people out in the pit.
Oh, she was like, "He's so dreamy. That's going to be my future husband. Look at the way he chokes that man out.
Hey, man.
He throws him downstairs like 10 times. Sexy."
My ex, that was why we started dating.
It was because she saw you beat guys up?
Yeah. She was into it.
She liked that rough? Was she a rough sex person?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Well, you can't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did get your answer though. We can thank the French. Arkansas
of course
came
it's the
from
fucking
the
French.
Quapaw Indians by the way of the early French explorers. The explorers met a group of Native Americans and they called them Arkansas, S-A-W. Since the letter S at the end of the French words is usually silent, we pronounce the home state Arkansas, and that's the reason why. It's named for the French plural of Native American tribe. While in Kansas, is in English, is spelling in a similar one. So that's why. So we learned something. The French...
They were fucking useless.
Their S's are silent, so they call it saw. I never knew that. Look at that. It's a great
is there anything French other than bread that's any good?
Fries.
No, those were actually invented by the Danish.
Yeah, but then the French people, like, took it to the next level.
Wrong.
Statue of Liberty. They gave us the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, they gave it to us.
Yeah, but that's good. It came from them. They, I like, don't care. Built it and designed it.
Fuck do I care about the Statue of Liberty?
How dare you? That is symbolic of who our country is and how we allow everyone from all walks of life and the borders of the United States of America.
We need to build a fucking
wall. It's a symbol
wall.
Of freedom. Oh, Jesus. That I know is not true. The Between only reason why you want to build a wall is so,
in
like...
In Canada.
You want to take down Canada, right?
I don't want to take them down. I just want to keep all those fucking passive-aggressive pieces of shit north where they belong with all the
Canadians,
maple syrup.
Man.
Fuck them. I'm not allowed there, so why should we not have
That's
a wall?
That's because you said you were going to blow up their country, bro.
I wish I had.
No, you don't.
Nah, it's true.
You don't. Yeah, please, will
you
stop?
You know why I'm so angry is because I can't go to the Canadian strip clubs anymore.
Is that really the source of it?
It's a big part of my anger, yeah. Those Canadian titty bars are top notch.
Amazing. And you can drink at them.
And you can
all
touch.
Nude, and you can drink. Yeah. I used to go over the border to Kingston.
Kingston, Ontario.
Yeah, man. Used to go through Watertown up that way.
Do they have a Chippendales club there?
I don't think it's called Chippendales. It was some other form
so
of
it was like
male dancers.
Firemen and stuff that you went.
Yeah,
and
it was
watched.
Like cops. It was like different theme nights every time I went. There wasn't nice. One specific theme. Asshole. You know what? Who cares? Yeah, I like to go see male strippers in Canada.
They dance well, right? You're more
no,
into it
not
dancing.
Canadian male strippers. They don't. They're.
You want to tell your butcher shop story? When you were in town last time and went to the butcher shop.
No.
You don't remember that?
You're totally making the story up, but I'm going to go with it. No, I don't remember. What happened at the butcher shop?
Well, I went because I needed to get some kielbasa for one of the cookouts, and you wanted some pepperoni. So you asked the butcher for a pound of pepperoni, and he asked if you wanted it sliced. Mm-hmm. And your response was priceless. You looked right at the butcher, and you were like, what, does my ass look like a piggy bank to you?
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. God, I forgot about that, man. Good times I always have with you at butcher shops. But it's true, though. I mean, I can't do it sliced.
Slice by slice.
Yeah, I'll slice it on my own time when I'm done with it.
Ding. No, yeah. It's a reference to you shoving the entire stick of pepperoni up your ass.
Exactly. I don't want it being sliced. Yeah. I want it in whole, and I will slice it when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new definition to ask them.
Well, off. That's why there's casing on the pepperoni.
Exactly. So you just peel that
so
off.
It doesn't
and
become
good.
Pooperoni.
Dude, your jokes are like fucking sixth grade right now. That was the biggest laugh you've had all week. Your pooperoni. Yeah. That's the perfect way to end this fucking podcast.
I'm down because I got to go buy a sweatshirt and go to work.
All right. Love you guys. Keep listening. You can follow us on Twitter at B-Show Wrestling. And you can follow us on Facebook at The B-Show, a wrestling podcast. Dixon does a lot of the Facebook stuff. I do most of the Twitter stuff.
And the gay stuff.
Yeah. Twitter, at B Show Wrestling, Facebook, and like our page, at the B Show Wrestling Podcast. You can email us for your ideas, thoughts, what you think of the wrestling stuff that we're doing, at the B Show Wrestling Podcast at gmail.com. And subscribe, download, and review, please. We appreciate everybody who has just started listening. Listen to some of the past episodes so you can see the transformation of our show, which was three nothing but wrestling commenting to two and being
jokes.
Awesome and penis. So have a great rest of the weekend. Enjoy June and peace out.
And for the record, we are a figment of your imagination.